back here on a Wednesday morning, September the 2nd, 2020. 14 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears, Glenn Coble along with you. And it was an interesting hour last hour because...
Can I correct something before you go further?
Go ahead.
You and I are still friends.
We are. No, and you were getting angry.
Yes, I am angry.
About that situation.
Have to patch it up. No, about that situation. I've always liked you, and you know that.
but here's the thing. This is all I want to say, and I said this during the break, but I think it's worth merit saying on the air.
I demand equal right
time. You got to be quarterback. People, when we're talking about politics, which is what we were doing last hour, people get very invested in politics more than anything else now. They have a favorite. They have a that's their guy. That's their woman. That's who they're voting for. The other person's not worth anything. And that's where we've come. We are very slinging mud, even on a local level now. Now, if we were having a conversation about the entertainment industry and what is news and what is not, it would not have got that heated. And that is the difference, and that's why...
Because the entertainment industry doesn't affect my life day in and day out.
Right, but what I'm saying is that the conversation would have been different because... And there's nothing wrong. I don't want to say that. There's nothing wrong with coming to a conversation with an ideological slant. All I'm saying...
We all do.
In some way. But the problem is when it becomes so personal...
In some way. That's like...
Well, in some ways...
That's interesting.
Well, but I don't come to this. You know what?
You are so vanilla. You are afraid to say anything.
No, because I really... Like I said, last week we had the conversation, which I think is true, when Jim Jordan was on this show.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't dislike him
okay.
for how he talked to me
yeah.
because I appreciated that he came on and did the interview. I appreciated that he tried to answer the questions. If he wants to get mad, that's okay. Fine. And you don't want to come back on the show, that's fine. But did I take that personally? No. And I just – that's why in some ways I don't I can't come to a conversation with Jim Jordan with an ideological slant, because if I do, then I'm going to treat him differently than I would treat somebody else, and I don't think that's fair.
Okay.
You know, I think that's why...
I must say, my first discussion with you about Jim Jordan, I didn't feel that's the way you felt, but okay.
That I...
Well, I felt that you thought he had slighted you.
Enough people said, like Adam, who was mm-hmm. the chief among them, and mm-hmm. still brings it up to this day, that he...
Go, Adam.
Yeah, and Charlie had said at the time uh-huh. that he was rude
yeah,
to
okay.
me.
Okay, all right.
But did I take it as rude?
Okay.
No, because I thought, you know, I probably wouldn't want to be asked these questions. He is staying on the phone, and...
More power to you. I hope you stay as neutral as you can. While you're reporting news.
But I also vote.
I hope in your life you have some opinions.
Of course.
And I'm sure you do.
Of course. And I vote. There's never been an election I don't think that I haven't voted in.
What, you vote straight eyes all the way?
No. I do go in and vote. I mean, I have an opinion. But the trick is to not let it overpower yeah. your sense of fairness.
If you're doing news, you shouldn't. And I will honestly say, I don't think anybody, when I was working for the Messenger down in Athens, I don't think anybody really knew which side of the coin I was on. 3 years I did news and sports, and I think I kept it pretty straight.
I'll tell you an example. When Michael Jackson died, I was in the news business. Now, Michael Jackson dying young is a story.
Mm-hmm.
No question about it.
Yeah.
And it should have been on the magazines and tributes and so on and so
and
forth.
And the cause.
That day. The fact that that was covered for 2 weeks. I felt like some of those news people should have came on at night and said, well, he's still dead. I mean, there was that story was not moving at all. But because it was getting big ratings, because people like Michael Jackson, they went out and found anybody who knew him. They went out and found his limo driver and said, what did you think of Michael? What kind of guy was Michael? Did you know Michael was using fentanyl to sleep? Did you ever meet his doctor? Da-da-da-da. That's not news. The news is that Michael Jackson died. Now, you can do one show on was Michael Jackson on drugs? Was there foul play? I'll buy that.
Well, you might have to do two shows because you may have to do a second show that
exactly.
gives the opposite opinion.
And it's fine.
Yeah.
And that's good for me. But when you did it every night and you knew every morning waking up that you had to find a Michael Jackson story that night because that's what was selling, that's my problem. And that's my problem with the political world right now is I think some of these people wake up and they say, I've got to find something to run today that... Because here, do you know how little... international news gets reported in this country. Do you know that if you go to England...
Well, we watch the British newscast.
And you should know that.
Yeah.
If you go to England, or you go to Ireland, or you go to France, or you go to Germany, you are going to see an awful lot of national news. A matter of fact, their newscasts are dominated by what's going on in other countries. Our newscasts
or Brexit,
but our newscasts are dominated about what's going on in our country.
Yeah,
and we take stories like the crowd size, and I don't want to get back on this, but we take and I believe other countries look at newspapers of ours, accredited newspapers, and see that on the front page and say there was a bombing in Afghanistan yesterday. That's on page 23. And a lie about crowd size is on page one.
But,
and I think they go, what a joke.
But they would also say, what a joke the Americans are for believing that crap. And I think both are news stories as we talk.
Right. And you know what the great thing is that we both have these opinions and that the audience can figure it out. But the truth of the matter is I don't understand because the United States did used to cover national news.
Where is the Walter Cronkite of today?
Well, I'm just saying, where's the... I wish we still only had 26 minutes because
yeah.
That forced people
to get
report real news. And I will guarantee, crowd size would not have made in 26 minutes, would not have made that newscast.
Oh, I bet it would have.
I just don't.
That's
right, and it's
my opinion.
But I don't think it would have, even because, you know, I look back at Walter Cronkite, and Watergate was not the lead story every night. It wasn't.
I watched it, but I don't remember.
It wasn't. Only when something significant happened.
How old were you when that was going on?
Oh, I wasn't.
I didn't think
no,
you were.
No. But if you go back and watch the tapes,
I think it was quite a bit.
It was in the Post. And a lot of others ignored it for a
while. No, I think Walter Cronkite talked about it every night.
I don't think so, because when I was watching the story on Watergate, there were other people. I can't think of who the Dick Salant was, the president of CBS News. But apparently he was under pressure from Nixon to not report it. And I guess Walter Cronkite did not know that at the time, but they didn't, a lot of nights, report it.
Well, and I'd have to go back and check that, but it sure seemed like it was always on the news.
But I just think that in some ways...
And I was old enough to watch.
Right, since we have more time now, that we report on things that we would not have reported on before.
Plus, we have 19,000 different stations that do their own choice.
Yeah, but we run the loop. And that's the problem, is, you know what, it'd be fine if you took that 24-hour news day and reported on 24 hours worth of news, but you take one story and you report on it every hour. Same story, same story, same story.
Yeah, that's and it really comes down, I believe, it comes down to money has corrupted America more so than other countries. Now, money corrupts. You know, it's not... The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money is the root of all evil. And I think we found out how to completely throw our hearts into the love of money.
Well, let me just say this, and this is fact, and anybody can look this up. And I think this is where the news media gets played all the time. The same day that the, and I'm only going to refer to it like this because it's an awful term and you can't use it on the radio, but if you remember what the Access Hollywood tape was involving Donald Trump, you know, if you remember what that was, the same 24-hour period that story came out, Obama warns the Senate that Russia is trying to influence this election. Now, who saw that story?
I did.
No, but most people
didn't know it was that day, but
it wasn't,
I remember
it wasn't
that
the lead
story.
Wasn't the lead at all. And by the time the election came, Nobody, everybody said, well, it wasn't reported. Hillary Clinton's biggest complaint in her What Happened book was the same day. How does that happen on the same day? And nobody heard about it because all the newspapers and all the cable channels were discussing the Access Hollywood.
Well, it's because our current president knows how to use and abuse the media. And I understand that. And that's why I will be voting against him, because I think that our fourth estate is... has saved America through the years. The fact that we have news outlets that really believe in honesty in news, and there are some, has saved America from a lot of stuff.
Right, but
whether they're used or abused, I don't know.
But. Had that story not been the lead story, had that not dominated a three-day weekend, had that not dominated the news going into a presidential debate that Sunday night, if the topic had been...
Was that the one where Obama, Trump... Stalked Hillary on the stage.
No, okay. That was the one where he brought the mistresses. If that had not been the story leading up to that, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, which it was, and even the first question in the debate was about that. Mm-hmm. If it had been what about Russian interference in the election, which came out the same day, but how would that have been different?
Well, it was. That was obviously a choice by some news director, but it was reported, and I didn't know it was the same day, but I do remember it being reported. And the more sensational thing, where the news was the president you're voting for is a corrupt, whatever the term for... woman abusing person, sexual predator. That was more important. I think that's a more important story than even the Russians getting involved, because we had known the Russians were involved, or we had been told the Russians were involved before that.
I don't know. I just think that sometimes, news divisions didn't used to have to turn a profit.
Yeah.
They were supposed to report
the
news.
I loved it back then.
Yeah. Now, It's Access Hollywood.
That's why I say follow the money. Anymore, it's just the money corrupts. And that's why I hate Citizens United. That's why I hate the fact that we don't give every network, well, if you gave every network a half an hour of free time, you'd have to give a lot of networks some free time. We've lost our honor. And that's one of the things I loved about being in news back when I was young, that people knew that it was honorable. It was an honorable profession. I think it still is, but I think there are a lot of people in the news business that are looking to make profit.
Well, I think they all are now. They want to stay on the air.
I think there are people that reporters that don't. You're not making any profit by being... way you are, where you're not expressing.
No, but you got to make some. You got to pay your bills.
Yeah, but you missed the point. I think that there are some individuals, and they usually work for the better papers because the better papers care about that.
But you know, that's not necessarily true on this level, and I'm not going to
say that about everything I say.
But you know some of
that's
these
not
stories.
Necessarily
there,
true.
There have been people.
Nothing is necessarily true.
There have been people who, like I said, I don't, because what happens in private, you don't really want to bring out in public, but I'll just big picture it, and it wasn't the only time it's happened, but people have tried to censor people's opinions on this station and done it through their financial input. It's mm-hmm. been done.
And I know of
yes,
one time.
Right. So, yeah, it happened here.
Yeah.
We're not immune from that.
I'm not saying we're immune. What I was saying is I'm glad that you haven't succumbed to that.
Right, but you think about it when it happens, because
sure.
you think about, okay, well, it's good to die on the sword, but if you're not on the air, you're not going to be saying anything.
Yeah, but I'd rather you not say anything than you not die on the sword.
Well, you know, the problem then is, does the media that is not being so good and not being so honest, because you have to believe you're doing the right thing, then you just turn it over to them 365 days
a year? Yeah, I understand. It's a never-ending struggle to be honest, to be forthright, And America, we've got to learn how to do that again. And we have so many people claiming to be religious now, but they aren't. They're only religious when it serves them.
Well, we used to be able to get along. And yeah. I don't know why we can't. I don't know why we can't have differing opinions and still get along. I don't need to take a personal attack. I matter of fact, you would never hear a personal attack from me on anybody.
No, but you don't attack anybody. No,
right.
I agree.
So I don't know why people feel the need to do that. I'm confused by that a lot.
Well,
you know, just because I don't agree with you doesn't mean I have to attack you.
No, I agree. And I have... Because of this show and because of my show that's going to follow this show, I have been attacked. Two police officers.
Ted, you are really a pioneer. You were the first viral video in 2011.
Yes, that is true. But I have a problem since then. I was hoping you can help me with that, Scott.
What's that?
Well, I can't seem to find the right antibiotic to get rid of this viral video.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth. Spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
And we're back here on the air. And Glenn, you were talking there about people who you lose friends over.
Yeah,
this.
I have two police officers who say not very nice things to me on Facebook. And I'm sure it's because either they listen to this or they see who I agree with on Facebook. I try not to run other people down because of their belief. I do have a trouble with our current president, and I admit that. But yeah, you asked a question off the air. Why don't these people dump me? I wish they would.
Well, it's like here's the point.
I could dump them, but.
But here's the point.
Should.
We're having a conversation about what news should be reported and what not. Now, that to me is not an ideological conversation because I'm not coming at that saying, well, we should report it because Trump is great or we should not report it because Trump is not great. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I don't understand what news we're not getting because we report stuff like that. So, but I understand.
Good question.
Right. But I understand
that.
But I understand why you have the opinion you do. It doesn't anger me that you have that opinion. You disagree with what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
Yeah. Well, that's the nice thing about our show. We both agree to disagree on sometimes. Most of the time, we agree on things.
What is it? It's just to me, I get that this particular president, for whatever reason, brings out very strong emotions on both sides. The
yeah.
people who support him fervently, and the people who dislike him greatly. And it's very hard to have a conversation with anybody who feels strongly one way or the other, because anything you say can be interpreted as bad.
One of the things that I learned when I was running for office, not the first time I ran for office, the first time I ran for office was... I was a fool. But the second time I ran for office, I learned not to use talking points. Now, I got my derriere handed to me. I'm not sure whether it was because I didn't use the Democratic talking points, but I would be sent for a while talking points from the Democratic caucus down in Columbus. I never used those because they're always slanted in their direction. I don't think they lied about it, and I would follow up most of the stuff so that I was at least informed. But they were definitely slanted. They would use that terminology like felon selected, you know, in the news headlines.
Well, let me just put a button on this because there is something I want to talk about. But Phil Donahue, who will tell you he's progressive,
yep.
will tell, and he was that way for many years.
Yes, he was.
But He told me the definitive story about this, and this is what I always think when I think about a news story like crowd size or anything like this. The United States and the Soviet Union were at great odds from World War II through the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Phil Donahue was the first person to be able to do a show, people forget this, from the Soviet Union as it was starting to crumble.
Yeah, I didn't know.
And how they did it, they called it a space bridge, and what they did was, they were able to ask questions of an American audience. Phil went to Soviet Union. He sat with a Soviet crowd. There was an interpreter, and they asked questions of the American audience, and that's how they did this.
Was Putin on?
No, it was, okay. Who was leading it? Gorbachev, I think.
Gorbachev.
Okay, mm-hmm. Now, this is the definitive story. You know, the Americans are asking their questions, you know, which weren't a lot, he said. The Americans didn't have a lot of questions.
Because they knew nothing about Russia.
Okay, but the Russians, Phil Donahue asked the crowd, he said, where would you go if you could go to America right now? Now that you might be able to do this, where would you like to go? And you got Las Vegas, and you and you got Disney World,
the money capitals.
And you got right. But then he said a woman stood up, and you know spoke in Russian, but the translation came through Oxford, Mississippi. Oxford, Mississippi, and he didn't Oxford, Mississippi. Why do you want to go to Oxford, Mississippi?
To see if. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Do you know why?
I think I do, but go ahead. Well, my guess is she would go down there to find out whether there's any truth to the facts of the civil rights problems.
No. This is interesting. He said, and he didn't know, Oxford, Mississippi. He said, why Oxford, Mississippi?
They have good shrimp there.
And she said, this Russian woman said, because that's where your great author William Faulkner was born.
Oh, wow, yeah.
How many Americans know that?
I didn't know that. That's cool, though.
They know more about us and care more than we ever could about them.
I would push back on that. I don't know that we know they know more. I do know that a crowd that would go to something like that would be a learned crowd. So,
well, I don't even, when they know something about your country that you don't know, I think that's a pretty, because I don't think Phil Donahue's a dumb man.
Do you suppose any of them know that the government poisoned a person about 2 weeks ago? I doubt it. Of course, it's changed since then, too.
Well, but all I'm saying is that if you go to any other country in the world, you get a lot more news about other countries, because I think they figure, like the BBC, I think the BBC figures maybe you should know something about your own country, and we should tell you something about places you are not that might have impact on you. We don't seem to do that here.
But is that news?
What's going on around the world?
Yeah, if we're just going to go around to Italy and tell you what's going on with the Italian parliament.
I think if we had had better coverage on what was going on in China at the start of this pandemic, things would have been different.
Yeah, but that would have been tough, since China doesn't let news out.
I remember, I remember in December of 2019, there were stories buried on page 26.
About
some terrible sort of flu.
Yeah.
That's it. But you know what? One on the front page. You know what was on the front page? Nancy Pelosi tearing up papers.
That was more important to the American public at the time.
Not now.
No, of course not.
But
because we were ignorant of what was coming.
And that's what I say. What are we not? This pandemic, to me, has been a great example of what are we not aware of that's going on, because we're worried about who's tearing up papers, and we're worried about crowd size.
You trivialize that, but that was not a trivial thing that she did.
To some people, it was, though.
Yeah, to the people that don't like her.
Right, and to the people, but that's what I'm saying.
That was news. That was flaunting her disdain for what he said in his face.
Yeah, but you know what the interesting thing was? I had, and most people claim them, and they both have said they are not big fans of President Trump, Phil Donahue and Sam Donaldson, I had them on within a week of that.
Mm-hmm.
And because it was on every newspaper, I asked them both about that, and they I don't even think they liked that I was asking them about it.
Well,
because
they thought it was
so silly.
I didn't think it was silly. I thought it was crass. I didn't think she should do it.
Well, they thought it just was, here we are again. This is what we're paying attention to. We're not paying attention to shifting budgets. We're not paying attention to what the president said. We're not paying attention to what he wants to do.
He didn't say anything.
But he laid out a plan that day, and this is pre-pandemic. Yeah. But I wish sometimes that we were a little more. The pandemic's on the front page of the paper just about every day,
mm-hmm.
and you know what? Thank goodness, because it's pushed most of the trivial news off for the time being. And you know what? You have learned what's trivial and what's not, because all the news channels certainly are not 24/7 Trump anymore. So yeah. You learned what they didn't have to do.
But we're also not learning some important information. There are, like the information about the post office being destroyed by Trump. We're not learning very much about that anymore. We're not learning a whole lot about why did Putin decide that he should put a bounty on our American soldiers.
Why do you think that story is getting no publicity?
I don't know. I'm shocked that it gets
no publicity. I bet it would be if there was no pandemic.
I would have thought so. I would have thought even with the pandemic, something should have been done. I think people are afraid to ask the president that. They do ask him in his press conferences, and then he walks out. So,
but I think, and again, this is where we are. And it's unfortunate, because I just think sometimes if the world were a little more perfect...
Oh, excuse me for laughing at that.
If the world were a little more perfect,
you and I'd be in charge.
I think that there would be a lot more news in newspapers, and there'd be a lot more news on television.
We need you and me to be in charge in Washington D.C. because we're able. I don't know why. Chemistry, you called it. We're able to disagree, and violently disagree, I believe, on some things, but we're still able to talk about it. And when we go to break, we have a laugh. Or you know,
well, it's because again, to me, it doesn't. You know what the philosophy is? I have learned, just like you said earlier on. We are 2 months away from the election. And you said, what, 80, 90 people have already made up who they're...
I'm guessing.
Okay, me too. I'll say that. So what good does it do at this point? For me, what good would it do for me to come on and tell you who I think should win and the reasons I think they should win if 90% of the people in this country have already made up their mind?
Well, I can answer that. I think endorsements... sway people, and I think there's still a small percentage, and I think people win by the current president won with a negative 3 million votes, so obviously a very small percentage of people can change the election one way or the other. That's why I think, but your endorsement or my endorsement, I'm guessing it won't,
right,
it wouldn't
but how can anybody can anybody who dislikes the person and not going to vote for the person, can they say something nice about them?
I try to do that. I swear to goodness that I try to find good things about everybody. I have not found anything about our current president, but I found things even about Mitch McConnell. Not very many good things, but I have found good things, and... I try to do that, and I wish more people would try to find positives about people. My wife and I have arguments all the time where she will say something about Mitch McConnell, and I'll say, yeah, but, and then she gets mad at me.
Well, I think at some point, what I try to do is when somebody tells me their opinion is I just try to understand how they got that opinion. That to me is far more interesting, because I think what happened in the last election, because of the Electoral College, people didn't think that Donald Trump was going to win, and he did. And I think had more people thought about what people were thinking, that maybe would have been different.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Anyway, I was just checking to see how close we were to the break.
we got a minute or two.
Okay, so I didn't want to be talking on top of that.
No, so it's a funny thing, but I think in the end, I think we have to learn to get along a little more often in this country.
Tomorrow on my show, I'm not going to do it today because I have Mike Larson on today, but tomorrow on my show in the morning, the on-the-air show, I'm not sure whether I'm doing it the first hour or the second hour, but I'm going to read The Lorax, Do you remember the Lorax?
I do.
Dr. Seuss's? And I'm doing that because I want people to have a smile on their face, but also face up to the problems we have in our environment, which is another thing that I think should be on a front page.
Well, and there's a story that doesn't get a whole lot of publicity.
No, doesn't get any. Yeah, not very much.
Because we're commenting on other things.
We're commenting on the virus that's trying to kill us.
Well, right now, but it wasn't getting much publicity before that.
Yeah, but it was getting a lot more than it is now. And I think it'll continue until we find a vaccine for the virus. That's going to take over, I think.
You know, it's just, I don't know. It's human nature, I think, for people to have some kind of conflict. Even husband and wife, family members, there's always a little bit of conflict.
Well, I agree with that, but I fight that all the time. Or truly try to fight that all the time.
But it can be difficult. Ted, yeah. I remember so well when you announced you were going to run for president on my show.
I do too. But after a while, I decided to get out of the race.
Why was that?
Well, I didn't want to move to a bad neighborhood.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Oh, no. Which button am I...
When every second counts, you can't wing it.
Guys, a little help up here?
In a home fire, you may have less than 2 minutes to get out. So make a family home fire escape plan. Then practice home fire drills at least twice a year so everyone knows what to do when they hear... Prepare your family at ready.gov/firedrill. Brought to you by FEMA, the Ag Council, and Make Safe Happen.
And we're back here for the home stretch of the On the Air program today. Don't forget, A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble comes up after this, 12:15 to 1 p.m. And Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond, 4:10 to 5 p.m. today. And then we have the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon, 6:10 to 7 p.m. tonight. Now, Glenn, what I want to talk about in the final aspect of this, completely devoid of what we've been talking about.
Great.
Is it's interesting because I talk a lot on the morning show about the girls.
Yeah.
Abby and Michelle. Yeah. And I got an email today that, you know, we're sick of you talking about that, basically. And you know what? I appreciate those opinions. But, you know, it's interesting. Well, you know what?
I wish people could have seen the look on your face when you said that, but go ahead.
Well, it's, you know, people have their own opinion.
Yeah, sure.
And it's like picking a channel to watch at night. It's like watching a movie. It's like listening to a song. Mm-hmm. You know, people have different tastes, and I always appreciate that. And I like feedback like that. I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everything is kind of carte blanche.
Okay. Carte blanche?
Yeah. Don't you think?
As a matter of fact, that's an interesting point. I've been thinking about this a lot. As you get older, you think a lot more about death. You think a lot more about life. You think a lot more about honor, I think. Obviously, some people my age don't. But I've been thinking about carte blanche. Everything goes in our life. And to have such fights about things like this, I think we tend to close ourselves into little tiny shells and not open ourselves up. In my opinion, when we die, we die. It's the same thing that happened before we were born. Nothing. Nothingness. And so, therefore, it frees me up not to worry quite as much about being nice to everybody. And I'm going to talk about this with Mike on my show coming up. I walk many days of the week. It hadn't helped me cut my weight, though. That doesn't. Makes me mad. Anyway, the matter of fact, I think I'm going up during the COVID thing. But it's interesting, as I walk by, and I know which people have Trump signs in their front yard, and I know which people voted for my opponent from the previous thing, and I wave and say hi to every single person I see as I go by. Usually I wave and talk to their dogs as well. The people that give me the most, turn their shoulder to me, are the people with the Trump signs. And I did a show about how people that are conservative tend to be more fight or flight type people. And I just wonder whether that has anything to do with it. Then I start saying to myself, what difference does it make in 20 years, for sure, in 20 years, I won't care at all.
Well, but isn't everything in that, though? I mean, what does really today mean in 20 years?
Well, people take themselves so seriously. They think they are important. You're not important. The thing that's important is that you're a good person, that you're good to other people. And that's what I think is important. We seem to have lost that somewhere along the line. The people that called in, two or three weeks ago that didn't like my stance as a progressive, and I did keep my mouth shut most of that time because I don't like to argue with people that I know I'm going to disagree with. Why do we care?
That's a good question. Why? I don't.
Yeah. Well, that's obvious, and that's, I think, why I like you, is because you have that attitude that it is what it is.
What can you do about it?
Yeah, there's nothing you can do about it. And if you do believe in life after death, then you should be good. One of the things I tell a lot of my friends who say, why are you the way you are? Why don't you believe in life after death? And I will tell them, aren't you afraid that you're going to go to hell? Well, first of all, hell's not mentioned in the Bible. But also, I live a good life. I'm a good person. I wasn't so good when I was in my 20s, but I've become, in my last 3 decades, a very good person, a very honest person, a very fair person. And I think if there is a God and he turns me away from heaven because I didn't say I'm born again, he's no God I want to be with anyway.
Well, you know what? Years ago, I saw a show, and I wish I remembered what it was, but it sticks in my brain. It was it was a young girl who was in high school, was the whole premise of this show. And her grandfather, who she was very close with, had died. Mm-hmm. And he had left all this money to a school that she was attending. So they were going to build this library in his name and name it for him. And she was so proud of this and helping with her parents oversee the construction, and it was on a campus she was attending. And they end up that they're going to do the school newspaper is going to do a story on him. I think he was a judge or something. Mm-hmm. So they're going to do a story on him, and they find out that he was a member of the Ku Klux Klan.
Mm-hmm.
Not an outward member, but he was,
mm-hmm.
You know, card-carrying member. She didn't know this.
Do they give him cards?
Well, I don't know. she didn't know this, and obviously the school, for a second, oh, wait a second, but there's a line in the show, because the girl gets very upset. You know, this is my grandfather. How could I have loved this man? My goodness, what an awful person he was to do this, and I don't want this library named for him, and so on and so forth. And the lady in the show who's portraying kind of the teacher, she comes in at one point and she said, what he did was awful, but he played games with you when you were sick. He sat by you all weekend when you had the measles. It's okay that you loved him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people need to hear sometimes.
Yeah.
Is that there are things that people do that are not socially are even personally good, but sometimes it doesn't, you still do care about them,
mm-hmm.
because it wasn't that way to you. Every, you know what I always say, Adolf Hitler, when he got up in the morning, did not think he was an awful person.
I'm sure he didn't.
And I bet he treated Eva Braun nice from all the reports I've seen.
I would think.
And the people who worked around him. I'm sure he laughed. I'm sure.
Oh yeah, I've seen him laugh.
Yes, I'm sure, well, I know that he was voted in. He was popular with people.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, the worst people who you can possibly think of, you have to understand, it's a hard thing to understand at some point, they don't see themselves that way. They don't get up in the mirror in the morning and go, I'm an evil person. Nobody would do that.
No.
Now, we could say they're evil, but you know what? They're not in their mind, they're not. And to everybody in their life, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And once you learn that, and once you understand that, you come a long way.
Well, I think you've got to be careful of allowing people to think that Hitler was a good person just because he liked Eva Braun. But
I don't think he was a good person.
No.
From what I know about him, he was an awful person.
I think that's, we have to, outsiders, the world can judge you, but your own family, they can be blind to your mistakes. And
But they can also agree with you.
Yeah.
You know, just maybe. Well,
and if they do, then I think they're the problem, too.
Right, but I guess what I'm trying to say is that I think some people just think people are pure evil.
Yeah.
But you got to understand, if people are committing the action, they probably don't think it's evil.
I don't know about Hitler. I can't imagine that he thought telling people to slaughter Jews, and I know there are people that still deny that happened, but I don't know that you could wake up in the morning and say, oh, good, we killed 1 million Jews. I'm a good person.
But you wonder why he thought, because that is one of the most ironic things in the world, and it's horrible, horrible that he
did. Money and
horrible.
Power.
No, but it's ironic because Hitler, clearly, if you listen to his campaign speeches before that happened, was driven and elected into office because he thought Germany was being treated like the boot of the world after the World War I. Okay, so that's what drove him to want to seize power, that Germany's being treated like a bag of dirt.
Yeah.
Okay, at some point...
Make Germany great again.
Right, but at some point, he drove... It drove him to capture people who were not blonde hair and blue eyes and kill them just for that reason. But the irony of that, which it makes you, I would love for him to have lived and stood trial just to ask some questions, because he was not blonde hair and blue eyed.
Obviously, he knew he had done the wrong thing. Otherwise, he wouldn't have committed suicide in his bunker.
I don't know. I don't know if that's why he did it, or if he knew that regardless of what he thought was right or wrong, he was going to get the big whammy on him.
They were going to drag him around town tongue.
Yeah. I, that was probably more to the
could've
point.
Could have been.
But what I'm saying, why would a guy proclaim that blonde hair and blue eyes is the master race when you are not blonde hair and blue eyes?
We have a lot of people doing that right now in America.
Yeah, but why?
I mean, I have no idea.
Do you think it dawns on him? Do you think at any point it dawned on him that he's giving these speeches and killing people in concentration camps for this reason, and yet he is not that?
I don't know. You know, I don't know why it's reminding me. Have you seen the Black Panther yet?
No.
Oh, my goodness. It's a terrific show. Some cases not very well acted, but a terrific show. And kind of touches on things like how people can be manipulated by power. And anyway, I don't know.
But wouldn't you, if you were him, I mean, if you're going to commit an awful act, wouldn't you want to commit an awful act against people? Because usually people who are jealous like that, you know, you would have thought he would have been against the blonde hair and blue-eyed people. Why did he believe that that was the ideal when he wasn't the ideal then?
Because he was thinking along the crowd size of the inaugural. He's not that way, so he isn't that way.
I don't know. I think it's interesting because I think you look at that and how did something like Hitler even happen? How did this go on? How did people not know?
The Germans were very angry at the world.
Yeah.
Because we treated them very poorly.
Well, and by reports we knew.
Yeah.
We knew that was going on and still decided to stay out because Roosevelt was running for re-election. And one
I'm
of his
not sure if that was all of it, but
well, one of his
we didn't
want to
have all our boys killed either.
Now that was a pretty big lie, but we don't look back at FDR because of that, because we saw what was going on in World War II. But he gave a great speech right before his fourth inauguration that said, "I will not have American boys on foreign soil." And less than 6 months later, he did.
Yeah, yeah. Well, things happened in that time frame.
But did he not know? I mean,
I don't know.
Churchill had been to visit him. He knew what was going on overseas.
Maybe he was blinding himself. He was telling himself a lie.
I think he did what he needed to do to get reelected.
Yeah,
I think that was it. But this has been an interesting, you know, for nothing else, this has been interesting, because if nothing else, a show like this would make you think.
I hope so. That's why I do all of these shows. If I didn't think we were making people think, I wouldn't be doing any of the shows.
Well, I think it does make people think, and I think that it's a perspective you don't hear anywhere else, because it's unrehearsed. It's not scripted.
Marian.
Well, it's not scripted, and you know, we try not to hold anything back that is just not. You know, I've seen stations where they hold stuff back. Oh, that's going to offend somebody. We can't talk about that.
I used to do that.
Yeah. So I don't know that that's necessarily the best way to go, but we did what we did. You're coming up from 12 to 1.
Yep.
Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond today, live 4 to 5, and the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon from 6 to 7 today, right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Stay tuned for more programming.
Have a great day.
WGH Radio LPFM, Marion, Ohio. For Emmy Award-winning actress and voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, Pat Carroll, sharing her experience of being in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Traditions for a lot of on Thanksgiving is the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Yes, absolutely.